Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mercenary Star Podcast. My name is Seth and I'm super excited to be here, guys. As you all know, we are highlighting storied mercenary units in the BattleTech universe, but today on episode 29, we are actually talking about some new announcements. We're talking about refit and redeploy CGL's new core products line that they announced during Tuesday News Day and on day one of Adepticon 2026. So today I am joined by two returning guests, friends, and people that I regularly hang out with way too late in the evening because they just bring such good conversation. Brent from Of Mechs and Men and Zimmer from the Valhalla Club podcast. Guys, how's it going?
It's going good, my guy.
Awesome.
Hello. Hopefully we'll have a good conversation this evening.
Oh, we're going to have a good conversation. Whether anyone else enjoys it or not, we're going to enjoy it.
If we're having fun, they'll have fun.
I imagine so. There has been quite a few videos about this out already, and that's okay because they are not us and we are not them. But I know we all got to watch a little bit of the Adepticon live stream today at a mere 12 hours ago, and there wasn't really much new that we didn't get from Randall in the Randall leak verse. That where he basically spoiled everything like 3 days early. But that's okay. And special shout out to Randall. Thank you, good sir, for pointing to the Mercenary Star sticker on the booth at Adepticon. That was awesome. I love that it's still there. So I'll have to add a new one the next time I make it to a con.
Yeah, Brent, we need to start getting some OMIM and Holo Club stickers in their hands.
That's right.
They have them.
Yeah, they have them. They didn't put them on there. I put that one on there because at Gen Con 2 years ago, there was one or two people. There was only one or two stickers on there already. And I said, I recognize that sticker. And I think it was Brent was like, yeah, you have a sticker? You should pull one up here. And so I just like slapped it up there. So I think they got several during that time. So yeah.
We are on the Ironwind cash register, though. We got that going for us.
Nice. Oh, that's very good. Yeah, that is good. Unless they've cleaned it, which hopefully they haven't.
That's where all your money goes anyway, right? During the conventions.
Yeah.
Little of this, little of that.
Yeah, you know. Well, we have a lot to talk about, in not any really particular order, but somewhat arranged to be in grouped conversations. Let's just kind of dive into some of the things. Now, most of this was from Tuesday News Day, but they did go over a lot of it in day one of Adepticon, so you can go check out the VOD for that as well. If there's anything we missed, please, by all means, let us know in the comments. Also, let us know what you think of all of these things, because we have opinions, but we want to hear your opinions. Put them in the comments of the YouTube video, or hit us up on social media, or hit us up in Discord, in the Valhalla Club podcast Discord. That is where all of us hang out on a regular basis. You can hop in and talk to us. You can send us a message. You can even send me an email at mercenarystarpodcast@gmail.com. And I'll definitely read it because I don't get tons of emails. That's okay. Let's go down the list there. Brant, why don't you take this first one? Because I know it's near and dear to your heart.
Brent's the one who's read the most on this subject out of the two of us.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I almost know how to play rules as written, aerospace rules. Almost, but not quite.
Rules as formally written. I can do it.
Yes, as formally written. I can do it with the assistance of Mega Mech. I can do it poorly, okay. Mind you.
That's okay.
So one of the things they announced is that the aerospace game is in closed alpha. So they're pretty far along.
Yeah.
With that. Now I don't know if that is are you guys aware if that was just aerospace BSP or is that also literally
no, that's the full game.
Aerospace, that's the full game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Or
because of course the
new rules or whatever, new tabletop rules for aerospace.
Yeah.
Like the full, yeah, the full. Yeah, it wasn't just the BSPs. So and that was mentioned specifically by Randall.
Which was fast. I mean, I didn't think they were going to have that stuff ready this soon, the way they talked about it in previous live streams.
Yeah. Is there more you got?
For sure. But they're also not going to call, Randall did say this, he's not going to call the aerospace rule set like complete until you can like successfully play a game where you follow a dropship down the planet to intercept it.
Yeah.
So they're definitely not at that point if that's the benchmark they have. But I'm looking forward to what they do. It's nice to, I don't know how the aerospace rules are going to look, but I do know there are some folks in the community who have taken inspiration from BattleTech's aerospace and built on it to make their own aviation games. So yeah. I don't know if there's going to be some sort of parallel there, if they're going to take the same cues. I don't think so, but other people have made they made air combat work on hexes.
Oh yeah. So. Well, and he did mention that they will likely try to get it into like some sort of beta, maybe even open beta later in the year. You know, pretty much every time they talked about, well, when's that going to happen? They're like, oh, maybe late summer, early fall. So that was like, yeah, maybe late summer, early fall. We'll try to get it into like open beta or something. So so I don't know. I would maybe bet that we see some sort of beta rules drop by the end of the year, at least, but you know, within 2026, which is way sooner than I was expecting.
Which is cool because they've also announced force packs, specifically for aerospace as well. So hopefully those kind of coincide with each other.
And box sets. So it's not just going to be like, hey, here's some squads. They mentioned they're doing them in level twos. So it's going to be, six.
Is that right?
I believe that's what we said during the streams. They're going to have six
was
units.
Like two or whatever. I mean, that would make sense, though. It'd be six figures.
Interesting. The aerospace force packs that they've announced so far are the Shylone Slayer, Sholagar, and then the pack two is a Chippewa, Lucifer, and Seedlitz. I can never say that one.
Ooh.
Awesome. That's as close as I got.
So that's three chassis per box. If they double it up, that's six units.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. There was also a Clan Aerospace Squadron apparently announced with the Sabotai, Jagatai, and Sharona.
Sure,
it's a light aerospace fighter with a just a single clan ERPBC in it.
Of course.
Oh, okay. Yeah, nice. Very nice.
Yeah, very exciting. With Alpha Strike as is, I've enjoyed taking aerospace to those games because it's a lot less of a headache than it is for Classic, but hopefully with the new rule set, we'll have a lot more fun with aerospace in the future. So there was also other stuff that they brought up during talks. They mentioned we're going to be getting more C-scale mechs.
Yeah.
So,
and they announced a couple of them as well.
Yes. there was a couple. We already knew there's going to be a Marauder coming. That was previously announced. I don't know, did they tease the region earlier? Was that the
but I didn't know about it until they talked about it at Adepticon, so or here today.
All right. I wasn't
sure. And an exciting thing about the Regent is that the Regent has a allegedly if they can do it, it's going to be able to be convertible between the Prime and the A variant. Oh, I believe.
Nice. So they'll have multiple arms or whatever. Maybe pods.
It might not be multiple arms, but it might be like, you know, you could swap out the lasers on the Prime for the PPCs of the Alpha.
I think it's specifically so the Prime has a SRM. It has a SRM-4 launcher. I can't remember if it's Streak or a standard clan launcher. And then it also has the 20 cannon on the right side. So I'm assuming those are going to be the two things that like you swap.
Yeah. Because the A is the one that's supposed to be like the awesome. It has the three PPCs. And
three clan ear PPCs.
Yes. Yeah. Three clan ear PPCs.
Capacitors.
Which, with capacitors. Dang, dude. You know what's funny though? On that, they're, I think it had a laser too, or a couple lasers.
The Alpha config, I don't know. It might have like a small laser or something on there, but I think it's just the PPCs.
So it's that is the one that's on the cover of the core box, which we'll get to in a little bit.
So the Regent A, just so that it's all clear, three clan ear PPCs, three capacitors, a targeting computer, and a ER medium laser in the head, which I mean is just excellent. It is almost 3,500 BV.
Yeah, well, it's a 90 ton clan assault mech, so
yeah,
that everyone in the inner sphere has access to. Everyone has access to these things. Which, since we're still talking about it. And it was noticed by the person that I saw talking about this is he always changes the first part of it, but it's like something Nebraskan on X or Twitter or whatever. And he wrote this like big thread about how the Regent is apparently becoming the poster child for this new era, that it's on like multiple books, it's on multiple boxes. And we're getting a C scale of it. And so
I think for good reason. For good
I do
reason.
Too.
For good reason. It's a cool mech.
I do too. And that was one thing that that it was during the session with Ray and Randall and Sierra Vela today that I think Ray said, you know, all of our boxes, all of our intro boxes, which again, this will kind of go into some stuff here in a minute, but they said all of our intro boxes have been 3025. They've been intro tech like the entire time. And he said, basically, this goes to the Regent kind of like becoming like the new poster child, is that like, you know, if we want them to embrace the IllClan era, then we have to as well. And that was kind of the core logic behind what we'll talk about, we can kind of transition to now if you guys are ready, which is the core products that they announced. And I say core products because two of the products have the word core in it.
they certainly leaned into it, arguably dived in.
Oh, dove head first. Yes,
which,
for sure.
Which I'm excited. There's a lot of cool stuff in this era, and it's cool to see them finally kind of, because it's weird because they were pushing the IllClan fiction and source books, but we weren't getting miniature products to back it up outside of Ironwind. So I, for one, am happy to see we're getting this. And then there's enough old minis in here for old heads that are like, well, these new minis are cool, but you know, I want some of like some older era stuff as well. And they, I think they hooked those guys up too, specifically yeah. with the mechs they chose.
Absolutely. If you are watching on the YouTube, then on the YouTube, if you're watching the live, you know, video, not live, if you're watching the video on YouTube,
live stream.
My gosh, it's not a live stream.
I think it's what the kids call it.
If you're watching the interwebs, no, if you're watching on YouTube, we're showing it right now. If you're listening to the podcast, you know, continue listening, but and at your convenience, you can either go watch this segment on YouTube or you can go and click on the links. I'll have links to these pages in the descriptions. Because there's a page on CGL's website and a page on biotech.com that have all this information. But they announced the BattleTech refit and redeployment, which was kind of the title of today's episode. But basically, they announced a new starter box, a new core box, and a new core rulebook. And basically, they said, you know, this is the first time that we will be launching all of these at the same time. You know, I mean, I guess maybe not. Maybe they did do it before, but it's at least been the first time in about 30 years that they've done it. So. And they are planned to release in August of 2026. My money is on Gen Con. They'll have it at Gen Con. And then
they've said they're going to have it at Gen Con.
Right, so right. I'm just saying,
I hope they are able to stick to that.
Yes, yes. But I'm just saying they'll have it there and then wide retail would be after. They said August, which could be a week, could be end of August. So I hope it's not end of August because I'm not planning on going to Gen Con this year because I'm moving. So I don't have the funds to go to Gen Con. But they all look fantastic as far as like the cover art goes. What do you guys think? Just initial impressions, looking at the boxes. What do you think? Well, we will scroll down in the video and you'll see details of what's in the boxes in a moment and we'll talk about them. But just looking at them, what do you think?
So I think for those who are listening and not watching the video.
Yes, describe them,
we'll
please.
We'll just hit you with what we see on the box. So of the mechs, we have the Hollander, Rakshaza, Solitaire, Uziel, Madcap Mark II, the Vulture Mark IV, Regent, and Eris. These are the 8 mechs that are going to be in the new core box.
Mm-hmm.
And within the new starter box, we're going to have the Contio and Hammerhead.
Yes.
The Contio and Hammerhead I find really interesting because there are no variants of these mechs. You get the like standard variant and that's it.
Yeah.
Not yet that, anyway. There was at one point a Hammerhead 3 announced. Don't know if it ever came to fruition. Yeah. For one of the force packs. But
we don't even have a Hammerhead 2.
I know.
Interesting.
We don't talk about the Hammerhead 2 around here.
We don't talk about the Hammerhead 2. Yes.
But the only ones we have in plastic are definitely just the one variant of the Hammerhead. And but it would be cool if this box saw different variants of both these mechs, which would be awesome. One with maybe 4 training wheels and then one with more advanced tech, like kind of as you learn the rules.
Well, we definitely have information on that we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah, I think indeed. I'm getting a little ahead of us real quick with the mentioning the starter box, but just with the core box itself, I think this is a really cool spread of mechs. I was just talking to a buddy of mine who I used to play tabletop with regularly, and he had to ask me, he asked the question, like, what are these machines? most of his experience, not too dissimilar to me. I'm a fairly young player to the setting. But he even more so. I've been around Battletech for a few years now, but him not so much. He didn't know what a Rakshaza was. He only heard of a Madcap Mark II. He saw the Uzeal in the Mech Assault game.
Yeah.
But a lot of this, he had no idea what a Hollander was, but he's so down for it when I explained what this mad little machine can do.
Yeah. Well, and like looking at the boxes too, the artwork on them is fantastic. I'm going to go left to right. The starter box has a great shot of the Contio punching the hammerhead while the hammerhead is lasering the Contio. And it's, I don't, you know, it's kind of funny, but like yellow is like a really prominent color in a lot of this, if you've noticed that. Like
it is
all the all the text for the like what box it is or what book it is in yellow. Which I don't mind. It's kind of refreshing. I don't know why.
It looks good and it catches the eye.
It does. Which
was my guess.
It does.
For their choice in using it.
But one of the things, well, you know what? No, I'm not going to say that. We'll talk about the boxes in a second. On the core box, it has the Regent A configuration on the cover in yellow and white, which is the, what are they? The Dawn something?
Dawn Guards, exactly.
The Dawn Guards. And they're fighting against what looks like there's some other, you know, there's other Inner-Sphere mechs in the Dawn Guard colors, and it looks like they're fighting against what are the clan mechs that they're fighting against? Do you know? I mean, that's the Madcap Mark II in the background. But what are the, what's the paint scheme? Is it Seafox?
Give me a second to pull up the pictures, because I don't remember off the top of my head, but I've got them right here.
I was trying not to scroll and reveal it too soon.
New stuff. So the hammerhead in the starter box, that is Spinaconic.
Yes. That's Seafox.
Which is Peter's, it's likely Peter's mech, even.
Could be.
Because he pilots a hammerhead and, you know, is a member of Spinaconate. There are a couple other.
The Contio is in.
Units.
Is it Delta Galaxy or Gamma Galaxy? It's the Blitzkrieg Bears. That's not the name of them, but it's like the bear with the lightning bolt. It's that unit. I can't remember what it is. But it's a yellow, mostly yellow Contio with blue on the edges, which is kind of crazy.
And then the I'm assuming the blue Mark II Mad Cat that's behind the Regent, I assume is I forget which galaxy, but I believe it's another Seafox galaxy.
Okay.
That we're looking at here.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see that in a second. But then also the core rulebook also has the Regent, but it looks like the Prime Regent.
Yes.
And it is in red.
Sort of light colors.
It looks fantastic. It's got like gold trim around the head. Or yellow, I guess, but it looks amazing.
I love that it is got the spine torn out of the gunsmith. And it's so funny because it's very reminiscent of Predator, because the gunsmith looks like a xenomorph. Right?
It kind of does.
Whoever decided to artistically to make these choices, they were making smart moves in my book.
Yeah. In this one, it's the I don't know that we've had. Have we had Karita as like the protagonist on a cover of a box or a book like that? Other than a Karita box or a book?
I mean? So the Universe book has Karita Atlas.
That's right.
That's the first one that comes to mind.
Okay.
And of course, like, Karita books usually have a Karita mech on the cover.
Well, of course.
As far as box sets, I believe there was a Karita Griffin, if memory serves me, for the beginner box. I'm a little foggy on that. Yeah, I believe it was Duke Recall's Griffin. Not his Griffin, but a one in House Recall's colors. And it was part of that the Duke Recall mech art, I think.
Gotcha.
Don't hold me to that, guys.
I'll show the this cool art thing is a lot closer in a minute as well. So
it's got an aerospace fighter in the background, and also a bundle of what looks like a Tomo Intersphere battle armor as well.
Yeah, and is there a turret in the background?
Yeah, it looks like the turrets from the turret box from earlier last year.
Which we do know the BSP rules will be in there, so we'll talk about that later. Okay, well, let's just move on to what's in the boxes, because I'm scrolling down now. If you're watching the video again, we're going to start with the starter box, because it's what's next on the page. There's incredible shots of the minis for these two mechs. Also, the half record sheets that come in the current beginner box and essentials box will also be in this new starter box. However, they are redesigned. And one thing that we're going to address right now, there was a lot of people that were like, why isn't this intro tech? You know, why isn't this, why is this, why are these two mechs that have a lot of advanced equipment, right? Isn't the starter box too advanced? And this was asked of Randall, and he gave a really good explanation. Because again, before this, every box was always intro tech. It was always started with 3025 intro tech. And he said, you know what? When we did the grinder kits, when CGL created and sold the grinder kits and dispersed them out over the last couple of years, and then they had all this feedback about it, and they got to see these grinders being played at cons and tournaments and stuff like that, they basically found out that it didn't matter if new players sat down and were given a record sheet, and if there was advanced tech on it, they just learned how to play it. They didn't stumble over it. It wasn't like a big hurdle for the new players. And frankly, I even kind of proved this with some new friends that I was teaching a couple of weeks ago, where they picked mechs that were, Ill-Clan era mechs, and three of the four of them had never played Battletech or any miniature game, let alone Battletech. And they were able to pick up all the advanced tech. I mean, they were looking up, what is an ECM? I mean, like, they were looking it up. Some, like, one of them was looking it up on his phone. One of them was looking it up in the battle mech manual that I had at the table. And like, they were looking up the rules, and like, they were like, oh yeah, this means that, like, if you've got, Artemis on your long range missiles, which is, again, advanced tech, right? They're like, oh, that means you can't use that, right? And I'm like, you're right. That means that I can't use that when I'm firing at you, as long as you're in the bubble. And they just got it immediately. So I liked that it was kind of a, let's just trust players to be able to understand this advanced tech.
I also think it's more indicative of what modern battle tech looks like, especially like tactics wise. Like, these are two styles of play that I think you see regularly in lists, both narrative as well as skirmish list. And where I feel like the intro tech, the Griffin versus the Wolverine, while it's a cool fight and all, it is like they're much more homogenous mechs. And I think for newer players that are especially if there's just two mechs in the box, and we're going to expect them. They're going to play this kind of over and over again. Yeah. I think that, especially like with a newer audience, a younger audience, I think that this isn't that much of a stretch. And the advanced tech that's in here, TSM might be the most complicated thing, and it's not that complicated. And heavy armor and AES are very simple to comprehend. So it's, sure, you know, there's nothing really too wild here, even when it comes to the advanced tech. But these two mechs like are fulfilling different like tactical roles that are gravely different, which I think is a better example of what BattleTech is overall, especially in the later eras. So I think, right.
I mean, again, these are Ill-Clan era box sets, because like I said, or like Ray was saying, like the wider fandom is not going to embrace Ill-Clan until they are fully invested in Ill-Clan. And I get that, like, there's a lot of people that are going to be like, well, it doesn't have the Atlas or the Warhammer on the front of it. I, you know, intro tech is the best way to teach people. I mean, like, I learned on it that way, and I'm not saying anything bad about it. But, you know, like I said,
it's certainly a way.
It's certainly a way. And I, yes, there are, intro tech is simpler for sure. But I think that we can give, you know, new players credit that they can understand more complex stuff. Some other things to point out that they meant, go ahead, Zimmer.
It might draw more people in if you're showing more depth.
Oh yeah.
When you lay out mechs in front of people, and it is just intro tech stuff, like this is so basic. This is so basic. Mm-hmm. Your meat and potatoes medium laser, like for as much work as it does, it's kind of boring. Oh, okay. So it reaches out to this many hexes and it does this damage. All right, whatever.
Yeah.
As soon as you start including like all this weirder stuff, it does like open up people's minds to the possibility in a smaller way, because this is just Alpha Strike, and Alpha Strike is not Classic. Classic is not Alpha Strike. But I remember I got so much more engagement from my players once we moved out of the clan invasion and they were looking up all these special abilities. My players absolutely fell in love when they saw those two letters CR on their mechs. Then all of a sudden they're like, oh, what does crit resistance do? Oh, I don't have to suffer headshots. Like, I am just this big tanky thing now. All of a sudden, the Charger became very popular with one of my players with the Charger C variant.
That's awesome.
So I think it could get players more excited instead of just showing them the bare bones stuff that was designed a long while ago.
Well, they mentioned on the like the beginner box, the previous beginner boxes did not transition well. They didn't have a easy transition to a game of armored combat in how it, you know, it didn't move players from that box to the next box, because all it had was the simplified version, really. On the backs of these new half record sheets, they actually have the advanced tech. And so there is a full size sheet that's going to be included in this box that says first mission. And that first mission, you don't play with hardened armor, you don't play with TSM or claws. You just play like basic standard armor, basic, you know, weapons and movement, and that's it. And then you flip it over and you can see the new technology, and then you can play with the TSM and the claws, and you can play with the hardened armor and AES. And so it transitions it to kind of playing the full version, and because then there's a second mission. And so I think that is a huge step up for a beginner or for any kind of intro box, in that it is giving you the basics, but then it is helping you advance into more, which the other ones were not doing.
I also think the art and the both like the box art as well as the actual design of these two mechs and their miniatures are both very evocative.
Oh yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I love the Griffin and the Wolverine, and you know, later the Vindicator and the Wolverine.
Sure.
But they're not, you know, they're distinct cool, for
let's
us.
Be honest.
I think they're very distinct for us.
Right.
But like for someone who's kind of new or just looking at this on the shelf, those mechs aren't that distinctive.
No.
Where these two have very different like art styles, right? You have this like big tanky looking shark dude. Mm-hmm. You guys remember Street Sharks, right? And then you have this like anime almost like cyberpunk looking mech with these long arms and claws. I mean, those are like two, like you can get a buddy in on this, right? There's something here that like your buddy down the road likes. And I think especially for even like younger audiences, I think that the character of these miniatures is way more interesting for a starter box before we even get into any of the rules.
Yeah.
And way more likely to bring people in.
Well, and that was brought up that in their design meetings, Bryn actually said, you know what, we should have him, like, why these two mechs were a good choice is because he wanted new or younger players to be like, well, do you want the shark or the bear? And it's funny because it is both the mech and the faction that these mechs belong to, right?
Yeah.
And so you have instantly, you have, oh yes, the hammerhead, the shark like mech, or the Contio with its claws, the bear like mech. And again, they both represent factions that hold those names and totem animals. And so you can instantly, like, new players, especially younger players, can instantly connect to it. So I think they did a great job with this beginner box. Or starter box, excuse me. But anything else on that box, guys, before we move on to the next one?
I do want to mention within this box, they have confirmed, and we can even see it in some of the pictures that they've shared for promotion material, we are getting new variants of some of the mechs that are featured. So the Uziel is a good example of one. Also, I think they also stated the Hollander is getting a heavy Goss variant, which is nice. So just hilarious.
The Rakshasa, Uziel, Madcap Mark II, and Hollander are all confirmed to have new variants specifically from these boxes.
Nice.
Thank you, Brent.
And yeah, and well, the Hollander, as Zemer said, was announced to be heavy Goss, which I'm...
Do you know if those four... are in the beginner box as the cardboard standees? Because there are, at least in the beginner box, they still have the cardboard standees, which I love, and they for sure have the Solitaire and the Uziel in there.
We can actually see, I believe, a new variant of the Uziel, the 9S, which I'm gonna fact check myself on this, but I believe
no, you're correct. Yes.
And okay. we can see from the image what the new variant is. It's two light PPCs, two medium lasers, and an SRM6, which is pretty cool and very Uziel loadout.
Yeah, it is. But I do like that it's got the cardboard standees still. Okay, well, let's move on. I am showing a painted version of the Contio real quick. First, it looks incredible in plastic. Second, this was painted by Porble, right, Zimmer?
Yes, you're talking about the art with the green Contio over his Timberwolf kill. Yeah, that artist is Porble. I love following this guy's stuff because he goes the extra mile and he does these very intricate dioramas. Like you could see from the pictures here, like, it's beautiful what he does with the little flame effect there. It's just like, that's a little 2D cutout.
Yeah.
But it really sells the scene. It really gives a vibe that I love.
Even the basing on the Contio matches the
yeah.
road that he has there.
Yeah, it does. It's incredible. If you want to, I know he has a Blue Sky account. I don't know if he posts anywhere else. I think you can find him on the Painters Union, Camo Specs. Those are websites where you could check for paint schemes all the time.
Yeah.
Just do check out this guy's work. I'm so glad to see that he's collaborating with Catalyst in this capacity.
Yeah. All right, well, let's chat about the core box, because this box, gentlemen, is the replacing a game of Armored Combat. It comes with 8 mechs, the ones we mentioned earlier, the Regent, the Rakshasa, the Hollander, the Solitaire, the Uziel, the Eris, the Madcap Mark II, and the Vulture Mark IV. And they are different variants of some of them as well. Like I said, that the, is it the A?
It's the only one that I think is a variant is the A configuration Regent. I think everything Regent? Else okay. is the standard
of the model. Okay. Well, that Regent has a missile launcher in its left arm. It looks like 10 missiles.
That is the Rakshasa's.
Just kidding. You're right. Man, look at me. It's too late. It is a trick of the light. I didn't zoom
in. The magic of editing, it didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
Potentially.
No. Editing will allow me to tell you how late it is.
That's never wrong, people.
Oh, there's plenty of times. It's on record. So. As I like to tease my wife, I say, well, you know, I may not always be right, but I'm never wrong. So these mechs look incredible as well. The sculpts are going to be great. One thing they did mention is the maps in both of these boxes. They are the standard maps from the old boxes as far as where the trees are, where the hills are, where the water is. But they are aesthetically designed to be like Alien Worlds maps.
Cool.
So okay. I expect bright, colorful maps, or at least maps with some bright colors on them, which will be fun.
Well, looking at the promotional images,
it's just standard.
Sorry,
I said it just looks standard on the promotional, doesn't it?
It looks standard.
Well, green. You got green, yeah. And then on the other side, you could see like the rocky pink stones. So maybe that's the alien they're talking about.
Who knows? I mean, I don't know how much of that's accurate, how much of it's mock-up. So, True. So the core box is there's going to be, I think, like first mission, second mission. There is something in there that I can't see without zooming in and totally ruining the video quality. But there's something with a record sheet. Oh, it's the damage path indicator for the record sheets. Do you see that?
Yes.
So it shows how damage transfers in. I think it's a new cardstock. Reference card, which is cool. I do appreciate that.
I believe the one in the image is for the Solitaire.
Is it? Might be.
I believe so.
Okay. Anyway, we'll get something like that. We will get the off-strike cards as well, of course, as well as the record sheets. Also, the Alpha Strike cards for the two mechs from the starter box will also be in the core box. They did that with the beginner box in the Game of Armored Combat because they didn't want to include the Alpha Strike cards in the beginner box because they didn't want to confuse people. They're doing that again, so you'll get that in there.
We also see in the image, and this isn't the biggest deal, but I like we're getting new style pilot cards, and I really like the way the new style of pilot cards looks.
Yeah. I have a question and or maybe even a theory. There's three colors on there. There's red, yellow, and like a teal, kind of tealish green color. Hold on, I'm scrolling back up to look. Was that the same as the other one? No. Okay. So it's just, I think the color is purely based on design or faction.
I believe it's faction. Yeah.
Faction. Okay. For a second, I was trying to get too complicated with it. And I was like, are those going to be later useful for aces with like how like aggressive pilots? You know, like, because there's like the different aggressive colors or whatever.
Oh, yes.
Sorry.
Interesting.
I was thinking way too heavy there.
I don't think you're right, but that is an interesting theory.
Yeah, no. I think it's definitely faction. Because when I scrolled up to look at the ones in the starter box, it's like a dark blue for the Rasselhog mech and a gray for Sea Fox. So
It's Snow Raven, by the way.
What is?
The Regent. Oh.
No.
Sorry. I don't think he was talking about those pictures.
I was saying the pilots, the pilot cards in the starter box. One is dark blue because it's for the Contio and Ghost Bear or Rasselhog Dominion. And the other one is gray and it's the Sea Fox Hammerhead.
Yes.
That's what I was saying.
Sorry. Yeah, sick.
Me and Brent were looking at the core box. That's where.
Oh, yeah. You're saying the core box, the Regent is Raven Alliance. Yes, I see that.
Yes. Gotcha.
Oh, and Taurian Concordat for. What is that?
Yeah, Taurian.
What is that one for?
Vulture Mark IV.
Nice. Interesting. We're getting a periphery pilot in the core box. Look at that.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to
remember
be happy.
Who Wanna took you. We get the name of the vulture now.
yes.
Yeah, but who's the Ilkhan?
Some weenie with mommy and daddy issues.
Yeah. So anyway, the box also has a new version of the primer that is now called BattleTech Sagas, and apparently, it's been redone from the ground up, and it's made to help new players understand the factions better and choose a faction, like if they like it. And so, there's even some amazing artwork they showed off today.
It is so cool.
Yeah.
I've never been excited about a primer.
I know, right?
But the art in there looks excellent, as well as there's some very like big descriptions. I don't know how different they are from the original primer, but it does look like they've gone into even more detail than they have previously. So,
well, and I think they did a good thing where they're like, all right, well, you're part of the, you know, Lyran Alliance or Commonwealth, whichever one they're calling it. And, you know, this is who you are and blah, blah, blah. And they basically have in each of the factions, they have they try to connect you, the player, to a character and showing a person on the page from behind, like kind of like how we would identify with the Master Chief because we never see his face. It like that, like you're like, oh, yes, well, I see this, you know, I see this Draconis Combine Mech Warrior helmet from the back and looking at this really cool, you know, group of sort of light mechs. And so I just really want to, you know, be a part of this like Japanese feudal samurai society as Brent does. and so I think it's going to be good. Although what I will say, when he held it up today, I was like, kind of sat up and I was like, what is this book that he's teasing us with? And then I realized it was the Sagas book and I was like, ah, he got all of us RBG players excited because the front cover is a cockpit shot like Destiny. And I was like, what is this Destiny related book?
I got excited because I was like, oh, were they going to try and push
role-playing
kind of into the core box, which I thought was a great idea. But technically, it turns out that is what they're doing.
Kind of, yeah.
But, you know, maybe not necessarily with rules, but they want to get you in that mindset, which I think is great.
Yeah, 100%. Anything else from the core box for you guys?
I just want to say, go ahead,
Brent. No, you got this.
I was just going to say, so let me start over. Make Seth edit this right now.
I'm not editing anything, let's be honest.
I heard that Byron, Bryn is who chose these mechs, which power to him. This is like the best lineup for Ilclan era mechs for these boxes. I think that this is a great, there's some Civil War era mechs that are going to bring in older players because everyone loves the Uziel. Everyone loves the Hollander. I don't know if everyone loves the Solitaire, but I certainly do.
Surprisingly, everyone is super excited for the Rakshasa. And the new Rakshasa, sculpt,
which the new I think is looks
fantastic.
Said.
Yeah, the Rakshasa.
The new sculpt looks excellent. It much more matches its lore background now, which I appreciate. And it looks like a little marauder that they put a Mickey Mouse hat on. And so now you can't unsee
pretty much,
that.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And then we've got the Eris, which is cool. We did have the Eris as a premium mech. I bought two of them. One of my favorite
mechs. I did as well. I also bought two Hammerheads. So
I love they. It's like a Griffin and a Wolverine made a just beautiful fast attack mech. And, you know, it's got those partial wings. So it can cruise for some long jumps. It's going to be nasty. It's for some newer players.
Is it 35
it's
tons
a medium mech?
45 tons.
I'm not sure.
I don't even know.
It's 45 tons.
You know,
it's
what?
Somewhere between 45 and 55.
I feel like it's a new version of the Phoenix Hawk. Like an Ilclan version of the Phoenix Hawk. I'm not saying it's I think it fulfills the role. Spirit of Phoenix Hawk in this box set is what I'm saying. So go ahead,
but
flame me in the comments. Don't worry. I love the Phoenix Hawk, guys. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying it's got those partial wings. Like the Phoenix Hawk had the jump jet fins over its back, you know.
I see.
The cockpit, even though it's on kind of like a squat chest, it kind of reminds me of like a little bit of like the Wasp and Phoenix Hawk like early artworks.
What I will agree with you on is that, like the Phoenix Hawk, it has main character energy.
It does.
It feels like it when you're playing it. And if you haven't played the Eris, like get out there and, you know, sub something in. It's a good time. But like, I mean, the rest of this lineup, and then you've got the Mark II also for older players. But then the Ilclan mechs that they add, like the Eris, mm-hmm. and the Regent, I think are ones that even like some of the older guys can get in. So I think this is, and they all are very distinct. So I think it has good curb appeal, but it also, like, I think older players can easily jump in and be like, you know what? These do look cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I think they did a great job.
Absolutely.
And listeners, if you're struggling to fight Erises because your friends are just taking nothing but that, remember, they're not so scary without their snub-nosed PPC.
That's right. That's right.
I know from experience. So for those folks, though, who do look at this box and now they're wondering to themselves, like, what's happening to the old game of Armored Combat and the old beginner boxes? What's happening with those mechs, guys?
Yeah, so something very special is happening. Well, not just Game of Armored Combat and the old beginner boxes, Zimmer, but also the Clan Invasion box set as well. What is happening with these old boxes is that they are going to discontinue selling the box sets, but they're going to create force packs out of these collections of mechs. And so they already have planned a force pack for the Clan Invasion five mechs.
And they'll be calling it the Battle Star.
Correct. The Clan Battle Star is the name of it.
That's just going to be the five mechs. If you need the elementals, you're going to buy the elemental pack. Correct?
Right. Because they have a pack of or of a star of elementals already. But then for the Game of Armored Combat and the beginner boxes and stuff, yes, they're going to have force packs with those mechs in them. Did you catch names for any of them? I didn't think they named them or anything yet.
I didn't catch names. Did you, Zimmer?
I don't think they gave names for.
No. I think they said they're coming later. The
Sphere boxes.
Yeah.
Well, they said they have enough stock that they're expecting to still have the old boxes.
Yes.
Up until the end of summer. So
at least, yeah.
Again, yeah, they're probably not planning to release those boxes till next year, if so not later.
Right.
So if you need those mechs, buy them now in the box.
Right. Many of those mechs are already in other boxes, though. They've been out long enough that most of those mechs are in other boxes.
Some of them, the not the core box, but the original Game of Armored Combat. That one actually, I think, is the one that has the least amount of mechs that are not included in other places.
I can't think of anywhere else to get a Vindicator.
A Commando.
A Vindicator?
The catapult. You can get a K2 catapult, but those are very distinctly different models.
We've gotten some others.
Now I will say the main box set is almost all in Iron Wind metal minis. So if you need like a Battle Master or a Commando, like you can't, or a Locust, you can go get the Iron Wind metal one. And I think the Iron Wind metal catapult actually comes with the K2 arms as well. So there is that option. Now, as far as Clan mechs goes, the Grendel has never come out anywhere until something we're going to talk about here in a few minutes.
The catapult is in the Innisfire Fire Lance, by the way.
Yeah.
So there are places to get most of them, I think.
Like, are you sure it's in the Innisfire Fire Lance?
I think so. It's either the Fire Lance or Direct Fire Lance. One of them has a catapult, supposedly.
The only two lances I'm seeing are the Game of Combat, Armored Combat, and then the Grey Death Legion box, which has...
Well, that one has the K2.
I had to look it up because Fire Lance definitely tickled something in me, because that's the box you get the Stalker in. It does not have a catapult.
In the Trebuchet.
What about the Direct Fire Lance?
Longbow. The Direct Fire Lance has a Crusader. Maybe that's what you're thinking of. But no catapult.
Interesting. I'm also looking on MechBay, and they have the specs as a...
Oh, that's right. They do have that. What are we doing? That's like the place to look. MechBay.com with a K.
I just keep it open on my computer. I turned it into a web app and just like
when you launch the computer, it just opens up the MechBay.
They have it. You can do that. You can install it or whatever. So yeah, I was trying to look, but it's not loading very fast for me. So
I mean, I'm looking at it.
That's okay. I swear there was another one. Was it not in one of the mercenary ones? I swear we had one besides.
Well,
that.
It was at the Grey Death. It was in the Grey Death one. But it's a K2.
Okay.
All
right, I'll stand corrected. For now. Somebody tell me in the comments how right I am.
Yeah. And I decided to double check. The Vindicator is only available in the second edition of the beginner box set.
That's so it. Yep.
I think that is going to be maybe the most coveted miniature of these.
Yeah, so three. here's what you do, though. You look for sales of these.
They're... Probably by the end of summer, they're going to be.
If they're going out, you go to find them. Check Barnes and Noble. If you're in the U.S., check Barnes and Noble because they do sell all of the box sets. They may not have all the force packs, but they do sell the box sets usually if they have stock. So,
speaking of Barnes and Nobles, there's something else we can go into. We can use that as
absolutely
a segue.
Great segue. Before we talk about the core book, there is going to be an exclusive Barnes and Noble Camacho's Caballeros force pack coming. It is going to have an Albatross, a Grand Titan, a Phoenix Hawk 7K, and a Hunchback. What is it called? The one with all the medium
4P,
lasers.
4P, the disco 4P. Back.
Yes.
My favorite version of the Hunchback. I know it's heresy.
That'll be fun. I'm a big fan of the Camacho's Caballeros. I keep telling Brent he needs to read the three books that have them because they're so good.
I let it slide. Eventually. I let it slide because of the sick art the Black Pants Legion commissioned of the Swayback, or sorry, the Disco Back, shredding a guitar.
Nice. Yeah, there's it's gonna be good. It's gonna be good.
The Albatross is a super cool mech and very distinctive. It has this long snoot with the cockpit kind of in the middle of said snoot. It kind of looks like the front of a ship, kind of.
Yeah, it does. Or if not the front of a ship, I mean, it kind of looks like it has a beak. Like the old one, at least, looked like it had a beak.
I'm excited to see how they glow it up, because
did it have a turret? I feel like it had a turret for some reason. Maybe I'm completely wrong, but it was a weird mech, but like, it's not a bad mech.
I do want to point out with the Albatross, if you need an example of it, earlier this year the Sarna.net released an article, a part of their Bad Mech series, on the Albatross. Yes. And they have the art of the mech warrior, like, kind of hunched, like, on all fours behind, like, a tiny Albatross mech. Art was done by Aldonius Rex. It's so silly.
And that art is funny. I was just looking at that today, believe it or not. It is funny they did that, though, because I don't really consider the Albatross to be a bad mech. Albeit, yes, but I definitely wouldn't say bad.
I always thought it was a pretty good mech.
The only thing is, like, in earlier, well, I would say the mid-range band of eras, it is mostly just Free Worlds League and Mercenary. And I think Blakist also get it.
Yeah, they have a few variants of it in later years.
So that's like my only problem with it is it's kind of like you have to kind of use it with a League box, which this, admittedly, with the Grand Titan, it kind of is. Which
they
have
came
seen
out of. The Camacho's Caballeros, because you don't know, Brent, they come from worlds in the Free Worlds League. It's a Trinity. They're called the Trinity Worlds, and there's three worlds, and that's where they're from.
That makes a boatload of sense now,
doesn't it? The Phoenix Hawk 7K is from when they served in the Draconis Combine. They served there for a long time under Uncle Chandy. Because I'm not going to try to say his name right now, because I have to read it in order to try to pronounce it properly.
I think the kids call him Unk now.
Yeah, probably Unk Chandy. And then the last one, what was it? Oh, the Hunchback. It's just I don't know. They just decided that was a good fit. So
I know we're getting another Phoenix Hawk. Sorry, go ahead.
True.
I know we moved past the Albatross, but I did want to point out that this machine, probably one of its biggest drawbacks is the fact that it has an XL engine and 5 tons of ammo on board.
Does it not have a case, though? I thought it had
case.
It
has case.
It has case, but still, I think this thing's going to go like a Roman candle when you do get hit. I mean, with the new survivability rules, you do only suffer a max of 10 damage to your structure. Maybe your Albatross will still be standing, but I don't think you'd be in a good way at all.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I think that there are going to be some new rules changes in the core book that I think will benefit the Albatross greatly.
Yes. Well, so, what we've seen from the playtest, definitely.
Yes. If we'll they talk carry about those that.
Over, yeah.
Which they are. So. But yeah, okay.
I feel like we gotta spend a little bit more time on the Grand Titan. This thing is cool. The BattleTech Optimus Prime.
It really is.
And we do already have new from it from Big Red's video on it. They've released art that's updated of the Grand Titan, and it looks great.
It does. The problem with the Grand Titan is that it can't fire half of its weapons without overheating.
It's a spicy meatball.
Yeah.
What, you're not satisfied with 24 heat dissipation?
I'm going to say no. But
at a peak of 46?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's cool because it's almost like a free world league atlas. It takes the kitchen sink approach to a loadout, which is just like we got a little bit of everything for any situation. And so, you know, bracket firing.
And it's super cheap. It's super cheap.
Yes. For what it is, which is 100-ton mech.
It's 1364 BV. That's insane. Or excuse me, it's 18. I was looking at BV1. It's 1817 BV, which is still super cheap for 100-ton mech.
It does have an XL engine.
Lasers.
Yeah.
But
well, that's the only reason that it's that expensive is that it has the XL engine and the pulse lasers. So but yes, it is kind of the Free World League Atlas, kind of like the Akuma is the Draconis Combine Atlas.
Absolutely, yeah. I completely agree with this assessment. Yeah.
I'm okay with each of them having their own Atlas, kind of. So but yes, let's move on just a little bit. Before we go too much further into the news, we didn't quite finish talking about the core products. I just want to mention, and then we can talk about the rules changes later, the core rule book. Okay. Because this is probably the most controversial of the three items that were announced.
For, in my opinion, not really good reasons.
I mean, I mostly agree, for sure, because I think that there was a lot of people freaking out about a new rulebook, right? The intent and how I think that it is panning out is that this core rulebook is essentially the Battle Mech Manual with some added rules to make it a little more exciting than just mechs, because it is going to have the BSPs. It is going to have a few rules for some other stuff, but it's not going to have full rules for combined arms, but it will have some.
It's a more robust battle mech manual.
Exactly. Exactly. Which I have wanted for a while, personally. I know there's some people that are like, well, we're just playing the Battle Mech Manual today. And I'm like, but I want to play this, and it's not in the Battle Mech Manual. this is going to include a lot more stuff. There are some rules changes that we talked about from the playtest. And we've talked about those playtests in the past on this podcast and on others. We've talked about the rules changes that were playtested, and a lot of them are making it in. One that specifically is not is the left and right torso, you know, change that they talked about. But we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But mostly people have been upset or excited about this. Nothing kind of in between. And if they've been upset, it's been because they feel like CGL is trying to bring a new edition of BattleTech. And that it's going to change a bunch of the numbers, and it's going to, you know, just make it, you know, if you still want to play with Total Warfare, it's going to make it obsolete. To those people, I had, you know, logical, polite discussions about, you know what, 95% of the rules are still the same. They specifically said they are trying to make sure that all of the like tens of thousands of record sheets that are out there are still completely viable.
Yeah, the number, which was, it was a double digit number, but a low double digit.
Yeah.
Of I think it was character sheets affected.
40 out of tens of thousands of record sheets, only 40 needed some sort of tweaking.
Which is amazing considering the amount that they are adjusting, and I think they're adjusting them for ease of play in a way that isn't in any way like I think removing anything from like older play. Like a lot of them are like, it's weird that this one table it's actually better to roll like low on instead of high, you know, and you know, unlike every other table that we roll on. And so a lot of adjustments are things like that. And then others are mostly, there's not really any nerfs, and it's mostly buffs to things that have been broken for a long time that people have been in forums begging people from CGL to fix.
Well, it's not just that. It's like some of them are just clarifications of bad wording. Too. So like in the past, a rule might have been written, and maybe it was written in two different editions. Like, you know, back in the day, which I pointed this out as well to some people, back in the day, and I say that as someone who played back in the day. I started playing in 1989. Okay, I am that old. We got a new rule book every 3 years. And we pretty much all had to convert to the new rule book. There was not a lot of people that kept playing the old rule books. Mostly because when they added changes, they were quality of life changes. And right. I think there Which are some quality of life changes in here for sure. I think any of the things that they changed were quality of life. And some of them were older rules that were written poorly, and they changed the wording to clarify them. There was also some that they that maybe, you know, there was a rule in one version, and then it got kind of expanded on in another version, and then, you know, then you're having to roll like five PSRs in one turn, you know, just for taking damage in the legs, like in a leg, right? And
there's a lot of things that are done.
They like, we're like, you know what? Maybe we don't have to roll five PSRs. Maybe we just have to roll two. You know, so it's like,
right.
Okay.
But yeah. Some of them are like, I know there's a lot of people vehicle stacking disappearing. But again, like I don't think those were done to upset anyone. They were done to simplify it for newer players, which is like, it's much easier to understand, like one thing can be here instead of two. And I would even say like it's more intuitive to know that like, oh, a bunch of infantry could be here. But
you don't understand, Brent. Hell's Horses is in shambles.
Well, another thing too is that. Sorry, go ahead, Brent. I interrupted you.
I was just gonna say. Well, I mostly play Hexless, so it really doesn't affect me. There's no stacking rules.
True.
In classic, in the miniature rules.
Well, so there's. I will briefly show this change log document that they did put out. And there was a long list of things that are changing. And basically this change log is, this was in the Battle Mech Manual and we're changing it. Or this is being added to the rules that are in the Battle Mech Manual. Or this is being removed from the Battle Mech Manual to create this core rulebook. It does not mean that most of those rules are going away. It does not mean that they're not still playable. Because that, you know, one of the things that is being removed is like full head ejection, right? Well, there's not a lot of mechs that have full head ejection, but there's some. And so, and the ones that's that do, not going, I mean, away.
For purposes of the rules.
Yeah.
Like ejecting is ejecting. Like, and if you want that extra flavor, that's exactly what a book like, or an advanced rules book is for.
Right. An advanced like rule book ups. Will have that. And so that's the thing that I try to encourage people that have had fears about it is to say, hey, these rules are not all going away. They're just being removed from this core book. They're still going to have a TAC Ops style book. They're going to have an urban warfare style book because skidding is being removed from this, for at least for mechs. I don't know if it's for vehicles or not, but skidding is being removed. And in, but skidding is not, it's not like it's no longer a rule that can be used. It's just going to be in one of those more advanced books. And
I think
something. Okay. Oh,
go ahead.
I think something that the core rulebook is trying to establish is like a floor or foundation for Catalyst to say, this is our baseline and we're going to continue to build off of this. They've already stated that they're going to release the core rulebook. You have BSP vehicles in here, but not the full vehicle rules like you would in a time of war. But they've also stated they are interested in making supplemental material later down the line that will include an expanded rule set for those things. So you could play something closer to a time of war. But if you want the time of war experience, don't play the core rule book. Or play the core rule book and just reference a time of war when you want to play full rule tankery.
Yeah, no one's taking away your time of war book, right? Like, like all of those books you have on your shelf, you could still, no one's going to stop you. You know, sure, maybe league play might move on, but like you and your buds can still play Total Warfare. But specifically want to talk about is Zemer's point, which is, I think this is more about organization. Mm-hmm. And Total Warfare, in my opinion, is kind of a mess because the approach is kitchen sink. You get everything here and it all works together. And so, and then you buy expansions based on the amount of rules you have, where this new approach looks like they're taking. It's like, what are you using in your game? Are you going to just use battle mechs? Well, or battle mechs and BSPs even, then you can just have the core rule book. And then this leaves them this leaves them room to have things like, oh, here's a vehicle expansion. And this is just so, like maybe today you're only going to play battle mechs and vehicles. You can just grab those two books and everything's going to be organized in like a much more neater manner. And like the way it is in the battle mech manner. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Or we're going to add aerospace today. Well, let's pull that book out. And everything's going to be organized in aerospace in a way that like makes sense. And so I really think that these changes are more about that. They went ahead and were like, while we're updating all of this, let's do some of the big rules changes we've wanted to do. But I think that's kind of supplemental to reorganizing these so that, they're better for modern audiences who are used to rule books acting and looking a certain way. Total Warfare has been out there for, they said today, 19 years, which is a long 19 or 17. Run.
Still
19, because Randall wanted it to be an even 20, just so that it would be even. But it was one away. Well, so, you know, 19's a long run for a rule book.
Yeah. Well, and even in those 19 years, there, the thing about it, too, is that a lot of people don't understand or don't necessarily realize is that there is a full 64 pages of errata for the Total Warfare book. 64 full pages, not just 64 bits of errata. And then on top of that, too, you know, like I said, that is a long run for a rule book. And even going from Total Warfare to the core rule book, 95% of the rules are still going to be the same. The math is still going to math the same. The numbers are still going to be the same for 95% of it. Yes, you may, you know, have like a plus two instead of a plus one, or you may only have a plus one and you know, instead of that old plus two in certain areas. There might be a few things, but it's mostly mechanics, not necessarily how everything maths together. So it's going to be good. But again, I think what Zimmer said is right. This is the foundation for what they're going to do in the future. So
I just wanted to look something up for quick comparison for my own amusement. You said 60 pages of errata. The Aces rulebook, you know, that rulebook you get in Scouring Sands now and eventually the next one, which we'll talk about. But that rulebook is less than 40 pages of reading. So you got one and a half of those.
Yeah.
You have one and a half of those, and this is just the errata. This is like, hey, we wanted to touch back on this back here. You know, that's just absurd. I wouldn't want to go back and thumb through that.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm also at a point where I'm trying to get friends to join me in this. And so I do appreciate some of the changes. Also my kids, who are preteen and teenagers. And so I'm trying to get them. And so some of these rule changes really benefits them. So for me, I'm excited about these changes. I think that it's going to be a great starting point for some of my friends who, you know, they like getting into new games sometimes. And this is a good starting point for them without having to be like, oh my gosh, like I have to like buy 40-year-old, you know, stuff from 40 years ago just to get caught up with what's going on. So.
And also, you hit something on the head there, getting your kids on board. BattleTech players are getting up there. They have kids. They have, you know, and like we need new BattleTech players if we want BattleTech to keep going, right? So it does. BattleTech, even though as it is, it's still pretty good. It needs some modernization, which is what we've been seeing Catalyst doing. Not necessarily modernization with the rules, but more of like
just a presentation.
Yes.
And exactly. That's what a lot of this is. Yeah. The new boxes are a new presentation. I think they're going to go over well. I'm excited to see how well the new starter box does as like an onboarding. So, one thing they did say, which was sad for a lot of people, is that as they're releasing these new rule books, they are not going to have spine art anymore. So
that's a bummer.
I think for some people that's an upside. For others, it's a downside.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Because if you're only gonna, especially with the idea that I think they're going for here, if they go with we've got the aerospace book, we've got the tank book, well then you only want to buy the stuff that you need. If you're like, I'm never gonna play aerospace, then you don't need to buy that book, and so you don't want to have to try and fit like all the spines together, and so you know it kind of,
because there are some people that will want them just for that.
Absolutely, so, completionists. Yeah. I don't know if I'm outside of that category. I'm gonna have all of them, but
yeah.
You know, I think that the people that are just gonna want to buy a few are gonna be thankful that they don't have to ignore that they don't have all the spine art.
Yeah,
I know. Absolutely. I myself, I do not display my books because I do not have all of them, and it would just tickle me in the wrong way if, you know, I had the partial lineup just on there.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Staring at me.
Real quick before we move on, if you want to look at the core rule changes that they are making in preparation for this book, it's not like every change is like a sentence. It's not even a full explanation of how they're changing. But you can go download the PDF. It's like a
change log.
It is a change log.
What it feels like.
And if you work in any kind of corporate industry, you may have used a change log before. And so that's why I was trying to say, like, this is not like 100 new rules or 100 rules that are changed. It's just a list of some of the new rules, some of the ones they're taking out of this book that but are still viable, and some that they're putting in to make it a more complete package. So, but you can go download it. It is on both. It's linked on battletech.com under the core products, but we'll have a link to it. And, you know, if you're looking at the YouTube video, I'm showing it here. It has really great developer's notes by Keith Hahn about the decisions that were made. And so I definitely encourage you to go give that a read. It has information on the playtesting, what they did for that, the survivability, the mobility, the gears, the missions, and the battlefield support aerospace tests that they did. And then he gives like a full, you know, half page or more on each one. And which there's also some great artwork in this too, by the way. But then it breaks down all the different things that they're, like I said, the change log of things that they're doing. And it, you know, like I said, there's a fair amount, but it's not crazy. And like I said, it's also not something that is going to change the way we play Battletech, really, at the end of the day. We are going to continue to play Battletech, and some of us will use these rules whether they're in the core book or not. So
yeah, hexed or hexless, we'll play Battletech the way we want to.
That's right. And that is one of the things that Battletech has going for it. So, you know, Battletech as a miniature war game is often more ran like an RPG in that there are so many homebrew rules, so many different ways that tables play, that it's okay. it's okay to play from the, you know, master rules book from 2001. So we've got a guest on the show.
Yes.
I think this is the longest I've seen her let you hold her.
This is Kiki. She at late at night, she's like begs for attention, and she was going to start chewing on my computer cables.
Oh,
if
yeah.
I didn't pick
gotta
her
stop
up.
That.
So, yep. So I was just gotta like, stop we're just that. Gonna, you're just gonna be an extra special guest. This is
absolutely.
Kiki.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about a whole bunch of the other announcements that were made at Adepticon. Let's start with Aces, because some people were waiting for that, because there's two bits of news for Aces. One, they did confirm that they will have a PDF of the Aces rules at some point. They didn't give us a timeline, but and then most of what they talked about was Aces Snowblind, which is the box set that I am most looking forward to. Because Ghost Bear gonna Ghost Bear. And what are the mechs in that, Zimmer?
Yes. They are. Let me double check. I know earlier I read them out of order. Do we have an order for? Oh, no, we don't have the official lineup yet. This has only been leaks, correct?
For Snowblind? No, we've got.
No,
we've got the
we
list.
Know.
No. We know, yeah.
Okay, I can blurt out the names. I just don't know.
Well, then, anyway, whatever. We do have it in the document, so if you want to read it there, or Brent can read it. Sorry.
I've got it here.
I got it. So we got the Fire Moth. This is going to be in the G configuration. We have the Arctic Cheetah A. The Rhymotter Prime, Mongrel A, Novacat B, Kingfisher C, Grizzly 3, and the Viking 2C. We have some new mechs coming in this box, but most of these are going to be variants of models that we already have.
Yeah.
We've already had Fire Maws, Arctic Cheetah, the Mongrel, Novacat, Kingfisher, Grizzly, but these are just alternate poses and configurations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great to see. This is also very flavorful for the section of space this Aces campaign is going to be taking place in.
Yeah, the Rhyme Otter and the Viking 2C are the two new mechs in here. I am super excited for the Rhyme Otter, and I know that Brent is super excited for the Viking 2C. He was showing off his metal one earlier.
It's true. I love the Viking 2C is a extremely annoying mech to face on the tabletop, and I don't recommend pinning it against friends you want to keep outside of a campaign setting. But it is a super cool mech, and they really made it look awesome. But the Rhyme Otter also pretty cool, and it's a mech we haven't had in any medium previously.
It came out
in the rec guides.
So the Rhyme Otter is the baby grizzly, and it has a
omni-grizzly.
It is an omni-grizzly, but it looks like a baby grizzly, and it has two large pulse and an LRM-10 with Artemis for its prime configuration. It does have a speed, like it goes 5, 8, 10, because it has a mask. It's a 55-ton mech, by the way. So that is not something to sneeze at, by the way.
It's made by Jotunworks, and it also is kind of the younger brother to the Mastodon, which is another excellent.
The Mastodon is the big boy grizzly. literally, the history of them is that they were both inspired by the grizzly. They were both kind of in the grizzly family. Let's see. The Mastodon is also pretty crazy. It is also an omni.
The Mastodon's an incredible looking mech. It was one of the first pewter minis I actually ended up picking up
because
kind of have to have it.
I need both of them. Yeah, I need it. But it has the prime configuration of it has two Streak LRM-20s and two ERPPCs.
With capacitors.
Which, if you don't know what a capacitor is, it's a way for you to charge up your PPC one turn and get an extra 5 points of damage.
Which makes those AC-20s that can go the same distance that an ERPPC can go.
Yes, a PPC-20. So that's crazy. I think that both of them... Now, here's what I think is cool. We now have three Grizzly mechs, okay? We have the Grizzly, the Rhyme Otter, and the Mastodon. We could pit them against the three crabs. The Hermit Crab, the Crab, and the King Crab.
But we don't have a Hermit Crab model yet. And that was something that was asked.
That's true.
On the stream. I think the specific question was, what war crimes do I have to commit in order to get a Hermit Crab? And we did not get a straight answer.
We did not.
So I guess we're just going to have to go through the checklist.
No, absolutely. So the Mastodon is not part of that. But the Snowblind mechs, very excited about it. They did playtest Snowblind on stream today. So go check out that VOD. It
wouldn't call it a playtest. They were demoing what they've already tested.
True.
This is all tried and true.
Absolutely. It was a demo. They have snow hills. Or snills, as we like to call them, right, Zimmer?
I do not like to call them that.
I did. I started it. I said it. They said snow hills, and I in chat said snills. Okay, And Zimmer in chat was like, do not call it Snills. And then Zimmer, you may have been gone, but somebody else said it later. And I was like, yes, it lives.
No. It was a few people to the point where I didn't realize you started this.
I did. I mean, you know, it's not a big claim to fame or anything, but but I will say they look incredible in that they made them to stack a little easier. They also made them to fit together to make one big plateau if you want. Also in Aces is they are including punch card walls that look awesome. And I would argue
and solar
that,
panels.
And solar panels and buildings. They had some big buildings. I think that those walls, they should have come with the Essentials box. Because the Essentials box is that Solaris map that has nothing but these walls. And you're supposed to pretend that they're there. It would have been awesome to have actual walls you could put out there.
I imagine the price point was what made that prohibited. And they wanted it to be something like, you know, like your kid could point out in the board game section and then be like, it's what, 20 bucks? Fine. We'll throw it in the cart. But that's my presumption. But I agree. It would have been cool to have some walls for that map.
That map was Steiner Stadium, I believe.
It was. It was actually a smaller version of Steiner Stadium. And I know that because I have the full version of Steiner. I have the full version of Steiner Stadium over here, because you can still buy from FanPro's website the Solaris map pack for retail price, and get like 15 maps with special Solaris rules and everything. Not gonna lie, it's like 25, 30 bucks. Yeah, still. You can get it on other places too, but I just surprisingly, you can still get. They still have that much stock of it.
So, amazing.
Yeah,
there's also card stock units in there, and they announced some of them.
Yes,
and it's a good little lineup. So it'll be cool to see these used in the campaign potentially. There's Manticore, Vedettes, LRM carriers, SRM carriers, Long Toms, and Elementals, as well as Pirate motorized infantry and
that something else we learned from this. They're on snowmobiles.
They're on snowmobiles, which is pretty cool. We also learned that there were going to be, Zimmer, help me out here, but I think there were like tokens that are going to have civilians, on them.
Oh,
they mentioned a 2-inch area token, so it's going to be the same size as like you would use for marking your, for artillery strikes and alpha strike, just 2-inch area. On one side you're gonna have like passive or neutral civilians. I forget the exact terminology, but on one side they're passive and on the other side they're frenzied. And they explain like there's gonna be a mechanic in some missions where like if the people get frenzied, like they'll start messing with your mech or getting in your way. So it sounds like a fun mechanic they're going to play with.
Yeah.
Because the whole point of Snowblind is you are a mercenary company contracted for like security during the Rosalhaig Civil War. So,
yeah. There's
sounds like good fun.
In the demo, there is a pirate who pilots the
Kingfisher.
The Kingfisher. Yeah. That looks cool. So, but Snowblind,
Kingfisher Charlie, a great Kingfisher variant.
Absolutely. I love the Kingfisher.
You only say that because it's got ER PPCs.
I sure am.
Snowblind is set to release again in that same window of late summer, early fall. We were speculating earlier that if they're going to launch the core books at Gen Con, would they also release Aces Snowblind, or would they try to have it just before or just after to not compete with it? You tell us in the comments, okay? We want to know what you think. Anything else about Aces?
The art. Something. The box art looks awesome.
I haven't seen much of it yet because I didn't get to, I missed that part. But yeah, I heard it was incredible.
The Rhymarter is front and center. I tried to be slick and uploaded in the side chat for you, but now it's going to take a second. And now, but so front and center, there's a Rhymarter. It's like firing over a crowd of very riled up protesters. And then behind it, underneath its legs, is a Novacat B, letting loose its just absurd amount of LRM fire. And then here we go. Now you should be able to see it. And then we've got a Mist Lynx to the left, and then that Kingfisher Charlie config is directly to the right. And then the Viking 2C is on a platform, just also releasing absurd amounts of LRM fire at who knows what. And they're taking a good amount of LRM fire in return. It's a great composition, like the blues with the like, the fire from the LRMs and the laser from the Rhymarter. It just looks great. And it's just cool that they picked the Rhymarter out of all of those mechs in the box. They picked the Rhymarter as kind of the hero in the front. I just think it's kind of neat.
I really like looking at this art despite like all the action going on. It feels cold.
Like, yes,
I like the dude in front, honestly, like the Alpha Strike cooperative campaign right there. It almost feels like that's his like breath cloud.
Yes, it does.
I'm yeah. sure that's just coincidence, but yeah.
I don't know.
No, it looks fantastic. I'm
sure Scouring Sands had the same thing, but
I'm showing it on there now. So it looks good. So,
but yeah, that's definitely fantastic. It feels cold. And that's great.
Well, it should feel cold. It's snow.
It's snow.
It's snow. Yeah, no, I do like it. It looks incredible. Rhymarter looks great. The Kingfisher and the Viking 2C in the background and the Arctic Cheetah. And then even your missile boat Novacat over there, which is crazy.
I like all Novacats, but the Novacat B is very good as well.
Yeah. So, awesome. Well, that's aces. Go ahead.
I was going to finally add with Snowblind. They're also adding, they were able to fit in the budget. They made a mistake with Scouring Sands. They admitted so.
Yes.
They forgot to add BSP cards for the Fulcrum Hover Tank and the Fulcrum did. 2. So it's going to be included in Snowblind. So if you get Snowblind, you get the BSP cards.
Thank God. Because I definitely want to use this Fulcrum elsewhere because they're just nightmares to deal with.
Also, I'm not too upset. I feel like if you're getting Scouring Sands and you love Scouring Sands, you're going to get Snowblind. So,
I agree.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. Okay, so that is Aces. Looking forward to that. Same timeline as everything else. Somebody did ask in chat if we were going to see an update to the Alpha Strike box anytime, and they said 18 to 24 months for a possible new Aces box. So that's 2 years away.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Honestly, I don't think we need a new one any sooner than that.
No, in fact, that's even a little soon. Like, we've got other things that I want to see first. Now, if they can get all those things done, awesome. Bring it out. They did also announce that the MUL 2.0, they are hoping to get out mid to late summer.
They did make they mentioned BSPs. This was asked about during the stream.
Yep, I asked about
BSPs
it actually.
are Okay. I couldn't remember. I wasn't
That one was mine.
Paying that close attention. All right, you get all the credit, my guy. So BSPs will be coming to MUL 2.0, but possibly not at launch. Maybe sometime after summer. So
I think in order to see them start to really be used by classic players, it's going to have to be, you're going to have to be able to go and find it just like you can any Alpha Strike card or record sheet and print it off, because otherwise then you're only limited to the 30 or 40 units that we have access to right now. So
totally.
Yeah, for sure.
So looking forward to that. They did say, forgot to mention this earlier, but they did say they would have a final printing of Total Warfare and Tech Manual. There'd be one more at least.
For the Tech Manual and Time of War?
Yeah. Or at least that's what he said at the time. Or it was in the same conversation. So I took it as such.
All right. It was also mentioned that there is possibly going to be a continuation of print on demand for older books as well.
Oh, nice. That's good.
So that's nice.
Weapons Free, the third book in the Battlecore series, is back in print or going to be back in print, which is awesome for a lot of people. That was one of the ones that was really hard to find, those Battlecore stories. Go ahead.
Speaking of on fiction, the starter box and core box are both going to have new fiction in them.
Oh, good. They should. I mean, it's Illclan era, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I
wonder, just thinking out loud, the old fiction, I did like those little excerpts from them. Will those be carried over somehow digitally? We don't have the answer for these, but.
Yeah, I don't know that they. You know,
just to preserve them.
They may be out there in digital. I don't know. I know sometimes they have them, like some of the box content in digital, but they only provide it to like demo agents or something. So, you know, maybe they'll put it out there at some point if it's not. More fiction news. Wars of Reaving is still in the works. No, nothing new about that, but that was just a question. Silent Reapers book is supposed to drop on Friday. I don't know if that's the name of it, but it's about the Silent Reapers at least. So we're supposed to be getting new fiction tomorrow. Probably the day this comes out episode.
Also are going to continue working on, they said that they still have Blake Astera novels in the works. Randall's Novacat book is finally starting to come around. So very excited about that, obviously.
Yes. Absolutely, as you would be.
And by Novacat, I mean Clan Protectorate, because it is in the Illclan era.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Additionally, since we're going through the fiction still, there was a slight update given to the graphic novel. Like, the first two pages are produced, and it's looking good. It's just going to take a long time. I know from experience that... the graphic media and such as that could take a heck of a long time. So the fact that they are getting pages out is good. I don't think they gave any kind of time frame for when that's going to finish, though.
They did reconfirm that they are in color.
Oh, yes, that's good.
Yeah, that's nice. They also talked about there is still planned, but obviously pushed back, the medium crunch MechWarrior RPG is still planned, just got pushed like a lot of things did because of the development of these new core products. They actually started them about 10 months ago, I think they said. So I guess that gives some explanation now that we know of some of the delay. I don't think it's a good excuse for some of it, like the fiction or audiobooks that were being worked on already. But yeah, no, you know, obviously Brent and I as big RPG fans, and Zimmer's a big RPG fan too, but I know we're all waiting for that.
I'm waiting for my Goldilocks RPG Battletech campaign. If they take too long, I'll just write it for them.
I mean, fair enough. Fair enough.
That's what shrapnel's for, my guy.
That's right.
Get your submission in.
Any other things you guys can think of that we missed from announcements today for Adepticon or whatnot? Also, too, if you've made it this far, we are almost at 2 hours. Thank you. Please let us know if there's things that we missed or what you're most excited about. So anything else you guys have?
Ray didn't answer my question. I asked, did he think the crab mini would taste better dipped in butter?
Nice.
And I never got an answer.
Oh, that's a shame.
Ruined my day.
That is a shame.
There was a comment. Apparently, in the future, it is possible battle mechs are able to carry battle armor in the future.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, interesting.
Like, yes. A little baby? Like, carry it like this?
No, I assume in the same manner. No, I know. That beautiful, glorious Clan Omnimex do. But
I do remember
Intersphere Omnimex as well, of course.
Yes, yes.
Well, Intersphere Omnimex have always been able to carry battle armor, right?
Yeah, that's what I think is what, like, he's saying. Like, just okay, any Omni can do it.
Yeah, I do remember there was a brief discussion about, like, you know, hey, what's the real difference between an Omni and a battle mech? Because, like, we're not, like, managing loadouts in campaign games. Like, unless you're doing that, what's the difference?
I think it's
a valid thing to bring up, but, like, I think it really comes down to, like, play campaigns, my guy. The difference between the Omni and battle mech becomes very apparent.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that they really are finally encouraging campaigns. In both Classic and Alpha Strike, because obviously Aces has huge implications for campaigns for Alpha Strike, which honestly weren't really pushed before Aces. It was kind of an afterthought for that. But with the Mercenary box set and Hinterlands, and then what's the next one that's coming out?
It's the Caritan one. They talked about it today. And it is just, not coming to mind.
But yeah, the next quadrant of the Inner Sphere book that's coming out, it's not Dominions Divided. It's
in that area though.
Yeah, it is the area of Dominions Divided. What am I thinking?
Remember it, because I had it written down somewhere.
Anyway, but those books and that box have really pushed narrative play again for Classic, because it gave, in my opinion, a better way to play campaigns than Chaos campaigns. Not that you can't do Chaos campaigns, but like the Mercenary system is just more refined. It moves faster, and I love it.
I mean, the Mercenary system, I would argue, is a refined version of Chaos campaign, but in, made to work even more so, kind of Classic campaign operations. But on this front, they said that the Mech Commander Handbook, which is going to be kind of the culmination of this, from my understanding anyway, is still being worked on, which I'm also very excited for that book. I wish I had it right now for the campaign I'm currently running.
So that would probably be, I mean, that probably won't be till 2027, because we'll have to wait to get the other two books from that series, or three books if they do Ilclan Eyes Only. But one thing they did say is that in Hinterlands and the Mercenary box set, I think, there are rules for infantry, probably BSP infantry, to basically that you get like a bunker of infantry. Did you hear that? Or barracks, excuse me, not bunker, a barracks of infantry. So instead of just being like, oh, yes, I have one squad of infantry. Oh, they all died. I got to go find another squad. It's more like when you're running the campaign, you get a barracks of infantry and you may get like three squads or and you kind of refill and take one out at a time. But they said that if you were to there's a system in place that if you were to take a bunch of infantry, maybe it would. There'd be penalties for trying to replace them all if you lost them all.
Yeah, so the rules for barracks are actually in Hotspots Hinterlands.
Yeah.
It was never mentioned in Scouring Sands, and they were making the comment like they didn't see a lot of people taking it because like that gets really expensive real quick if you take those out because infantry are oftentimes squishy. Me and Brent had this case, like one of the first units we lost in our Scouring Sands campaign was a squad of battle armor, which we're like, all right, cool, we're like two missions in and now we lost a dude forever, we're just not gonna buy him back because this is too expensive.
And I believe and so don't hold me to this one, but I remember somewhere that when you know in Alpha Strike when infantry go down, it's not like a total wipe, it's that they become combat ineffective. So they remove themselves from the board because they're no longer like able to fight. So it's not like even when you lose infantry in Alpha, it's not like you've lost an entire platoon of dudes.
Right. They just hit that combat ineffective status and then they are nullified.
Exactly. So I think that between, you know, kind of averaging those two concepts out, I think it makes a lot of sense being able to do that.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact barracks rules, but it does say like you could take a stand of miniatures per mission and it doesn't affect the barracks. You could take multiple, but you run the risk of exhausting your barracks if those dudes go down. But as long as you're only taking like that one squad every time, even if they get wiped each mission, you're just paying the repair costs to replace the dudes that went down.
Yep.
I do have one last, this I should have said this during the rule thing, but I'm excited. A lot of the rules, and this is something we didn't hit, a lot of the rules are going to be, as far as changes go, are changes based off of what people have been playing. You know, I think floating crit is one of those that's being put in there because it's so commonly used.
They switched some of them from optional to default. Leaving what used to be the default as an optional rule.
As an optional, which I think is, you know, completely fine. One I'm really excited about is their front loading initiative. And this is something that my play group, like basically for Classic and Alpha Strike, is just, we mandatorily do it. It's just always for one, I think it's easier to conceptually understand, like, who should go when, and I think it's fairer. Generally.
Which I think
there
was
a cool.
That's one of the. It was an option, now it's default, and the other way is the optional. So,
yeah,
because there are some ways I've seen, and I've seen argued pretty logically that like if you've got one side of the board that has like double the amount of units that the other side has, then it's not quite as great.
There was a
because
cool.
Then it's
someone
like, well,
did the math on Reddit. And they literally mapped out when it kind of becomes unfair. And the best thing is to do kind of a like a ping pong initiative where you switch between the two based on the situation, I think. But overall, the less complicated one that was fair was the front loaded initiative. Yeah.
No, I'm fine with it at the end of the day, you know, kind of thing. It is what it is for me. Like, generally, you're not going to have one side that has 10 units and one side that has 3 units, you know, or 5 units.
Unless you're doing something campaign-wise or you're just having a bit of fun. And if that case, you know, who cares?
Right.
Clearly, the solution to this is to get a whiteboard and every unit just rolls initiative individually and you write down their names on the whiteboard. Yep. And now you just added 2 hours to your play session.
Now, absolutely. Funny enough, for a campaign I'm running, I am considering adding a stat which will act as their initiative position, not unlike X-Wing.
Ooh,
if any of you, I know you guys have played, but I don't know if your listeners, which I think is an interesting thing you could do. And for campaign play, I think, I don't know how well it would work in a regular game, but I've always thought that would be a fun thing to play with in Battletech. So
I have the Battletech initiative deck and I've never used it. I've got to use it at some point. So
I used to use the initiative deck all the time, except literally it was just for initiative. Like, hey, Ace
you didn't
is
do
one.
Any of the extra stuff.
The two. No.
Oh, okay.
I heard literally that the extra stuff can be a little broken.
Probably. Some of them look broken for sure. I haven't, like I said, I've never used it. So mostly I got it because I wanted the Battletech playing cards.
Yeah.
It's fun for that. I mean, that's essentially what I got it for. It's just a Battletech themed playing card deck.
So I have heard that if you have a lot of people playing, like that are on individual initiative, right? Like, so if you have like 3 or 4 individual factions like at the table playing, the cards can absolutely be a much faster way than rolling and figuring all that out.
I could see that.
That's exactly what I used it for. Like, hey, we got 4 groups on the map. I'm going to pull out just the first 4 cards of the deck. Everybody's going to draw a random card. That's how I did initiative for the longest time at the local game store, because it was a lot easier to do than like, okay, roll your dice. No, just pull a card.
Yeah.
And especially like a Solaris match where everyone just has one mech, but they're all separate initiative roles. Like, yeah. I think that could be really good. Hopefully they come out with a new one, and this time it has the Ill Clan factions on it. That would be pretty sick.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. I have contemplated making my own with alternate variants of said art logos or something. So. Because and not necessarily to use as the initiative deck, but just to have like Battletech playing cards. So all right, well, is there any final things for Adepticon 2026 announcements or core products?
These were the final things.
These were the final things. You're right. I'm just giving you one more chance, which, you know, I'm just a nice guy like that. Okay, shout outs.
Hi,
shout
I'm
outs
on
to random
podcast.
Good.
What
you guys? I'm on a podcast. I'm gonna shout out myself.
Just do it. Shout it out.
Yeah, the Valhalla Club. If you haven't heard of us, please do come check out the podcast. We have a few episodes. We've not too long ago we were talking with Brent about aerospace. So if you want to learn about China incorporating that into your Alpha Strike game before the new aerospace rules for Classic come out, give it a look. I'd say try it.
Yeah, absolutely. Brent?
You know, I'm obviously from of Mechs and Men. I want to shout out my 2 co-hosts, first and foremost, Kanan and Aaron. If you're living under a rock and you haven't heard of us, we're of Mechs and Men. We're a lore podcast, and we go into excruciating detail. Chapters at a time, we dissect the Battletech books, starting with the Grey Death Legion books, and we're just carrying on. I also want to shout out Randall Bills, my hero. Thank you. As it was quoted, I guess, early in the stream, but I missed it somehow. The Nova Cats have returned, and I'm just very happy about that.
We just got to get
Randall
it published.
If you're listening,
so it's
thank
official.
You. That's right.
Yeah.
And by extension, I should shout out Merwin, who was in the live stream today, well, in the chat. And who is a fellow Nova Cat who you know, has been also helping me pester Randall over the years. So thank you, Merwin.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if the Jaguars came back, the Nova Cats came back, when am I getting Comstar back so I don't have all these white minis laying around?
Yeah, right? It's sad times. Sad times. Nobody wants these Word of Blake anymore. We just want our Comstar back.
Hey, right? I bet you could play those Comstar mix as some weirdos on the periphery hiding out from a not-so-long-ago war. I think you could get away with it.
Probably.
Yeah. It. You know, they had to get the crap from somewhere.
It's your table, so play, right. Play what you want. Awesome. Well, for me, huge shout out to the show sponsor, Fortress Miniatures and Games. Definitely check them out if you do not have a local game store to go to. They not only have Battletech, but they also have other things, other game systems like Halo Flashpoint. I think they're even going to get the StarCraft miniatures game. So, you know, something to check out. Also, shout out to Brent and Zimmer for coming on and hanging out and chatting all this stuff super late, because yeah, it's like 1:19 a.m. For me, so which means it's 2:19 for Zimmer. But you know what,
it's how we opened up the podcast, my guy.
But you know what, we suffer to bring you, the players, and Battletech fans glorious content. So
you might be suffering. I'm enjoying every moment talking about my favorite game.
Well, that's true. I'm only going to suffer tomorrow when I have to wake up early. So all right, well, thank you all for joining us. If you again made it this long, you're a legend. Let us know in the chat if you did make it to this last moment. Give us a word, Brent, for them to put in chat.
Pomegranate.
There it is. All right. Good night and God bless everybody.
And that's how we know how to when to stop.